General Motors is trading right now on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. In a moment, we'll get the latest on GM's initial public offering and its efforts to repay taxpayers. But first, where's Wall Street? It's up. That's the happy music. The Dow is up 138 points at 11,146. The NASDAQ up about 1.4% right now. The S&P 500 up about 1.3%. European markets also higher as it starts to look more likely that European officials will sort out the details necessary for a bailout of Ireland. Now to the GM IPO. Shares of the automaker went up for sale on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange about 20 minutes ago. For the first time since GM filed bankruptcy in June of last year, Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith is with me here with the latest. Stacey, where are GM shares trading right now?
They're at about $35 a share, which is $10 more than analysts had predicted just a few days ago.
Now, to be clear, taxpayers still do own some of this company, right?
Yes, we own less of it. The government sold off a bunch of shares in this IPO. So our stake in GM has gone from about 60% to about 25%. And we did lose a little money in the sale, roughly $4.5 billion. The government sold its shares for $33 a piece, and it bought those shares for $44 last year. To get the bailout money back now, the shares we still own in GM would have to get to $53. I asked Mark Zandi with Moody's Analytics if he thought that would happen.
While the auto bailout probably will cost taxpayers some money, that's only because we're impatient investors. If we held on to GM stock for longer, I think we would do well and probably at least be made whole.
The government says it won't sell any more GM shares for about 6 months. But after that, Zandi thinks the government will sell some GM stock pretty quickly because it wants out of the car business.
Out of the car business. Stacey Vanek-Smith here in New York. Thanks, Stacey.
Thank you.
Now let's put this GM news in perspective with Liz Ann Saunders, Chief Investment Strategist at Charles Schwab. She's with us live. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
So I'm very good. Thank you. So put this sale of stock in the context of our rocky economic recovery.
I think it does represent some semblance of optimism on the part of both the company as well as the government that this is the right time to do this. I think we have, over the past couple of weeks, seen pretty decent traction in terms of broad economic numbers, even the jobs numbers. So I think this is just another example of an economy that is unlikely to go into a second recession. So I think that's good news.
And Liz, and when we hear about IPOs like this one, should listeners think that that means jobs?
Well, not necessarily. I don't know that there's a direct connection. But again, if it relates to animal spirits coming back and optimism on the part of the company about the prospects for their business, ostensibly that should translate into some optimism about job growth. I think that optimism broadly is starting to build anyway. And you know, add this to the list.
Okay. Liz Ann Saunders, Chief Investment Strategist at Charles Schwab. Thanks so much for your insight.
Thank you.
A hearing on those foreclosure document issues is set to begin any minute on Capitol Hill. In his prepared testimony, an official from Citigroup says the bank has discovered thousands of mortgage documents that were not filed properly. I've heard that story before, but he doesn't anticipate that Citigroup will halt foreclosures because of those errors.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist online. And by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at MassMutual.com.
So everyone's trying to balance the federal budget. We got the plan last week from the President's Deficit Commission. Yesterday there was another plan, and there will probably be even more proposals in the coming weeks. But our economics correspondent Chris Farrell has found a disturbing trend in these deficit-cutting plans, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So what's the similarity between these plans?
Well, it's an underappreciated aspect of these plans is that they give baby boomers, the generation that has created the fiscal mess, basically a pass on fixing the problem.
They're getting off the hook. What do you mean? What are the examples of this?
It's really noticeable in the Bowles-Simpson plan. All right, So they say, we're going to boost the retirement age for Social Security to age 69 by 2075. The boomers are going to be dead by then. Okay, so you're going to gradually hike the federal gas tax by 15%, all right, starting in 2013. Aging boomers, they're not going to be driving much when they're old. And, with tax reform, you eliminate the child, tax credit. Well, guess what? Hopefully, the kids are out of the house. So if you just go through all these things, it's not going to affect the boomers that much.
So why are they designing the plans this way?
The main reason is going on is that you want to protect aging boomers because they've lived under one set of rules. For example, mortgage tax deduction. Well, a lot of boomers went out there, bought a house with a mortgage tax deduction. You take it away. That seems unfair. But the thing is, the more that you protect the boomers, the more you pass the costs on to future generations. And that doesn't seem fair to me.
And, of course, the boomers are the ones who vote. Do you think that they will end up paying a price at any point in the end here?
Yes, I do. And for two reasons. One, there's going to be a lot of negotiation. And in that negotiation, boomers are going to end up paying a bigger price. But here's the real thing, Jeremy. You know, if you look at the long-term budget deficit, the fundamental issue is the rising cost of Medicare. That's the real problem.
Yeah.
And in the end, that's where a lot of the changes are going to be. And boomers, they're starting to file for Medicare.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, in Idaho, a doctor had asked a county treasurer to include colonoscopy reminders in everyone's annual tax notices. Seems like a pretty healthy idea. Well, not to the county treasurer. She denied the request because she said recommending a colonoscopy in the same envelope as a tax notice may be considered ironic. Our new blog, The Big Book, is live at marketplace.org. It's got all the latest reviews and interviews about the latest books on business and the economy. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Some banks do it with low fees. Some do it with fancy technology. Some just do it differently.
We've fared better in the last 3 years of a very difficult recession because we knew our customers a lot better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. As the beleaguered banking industry looks for new business models, here's one. Know your customers on site and give your profits to charity. Our series, Economy 4.0, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.